Welcome to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture, and we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're coming from.
My name is Priscilla Concepcion, and I am the business owner of Empower Her Portraits. I've been living here in Los Angeles for the past 5 years since the pandemic. Before that, I was from El Paso, Texas. And yeah, I've been here ever since, you know, just photographing beautiful women and just hyping them up. And yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
That sounds like a career I'd like to get into, the way you put it, right? You made it sound like something that everybody should get into. Beautiful women, LA, right?
And, yes.
You know, I wish that I knew more about El Paso. I've only driven through there. And the only fun fact that I have that's related to my family is I think my brother got arrested in El Paso one time. So, like, other than that, I mean, it's just, you know, on the map for me.
You know, it's a very, very small town, but everyone knows everyone practically there. But it's a nice, small, slow moving town. So every time you go visit, it's like, why are these drivers driving so freaking slow? I'm so used to LA traffic and people driving fast here. So yeah, it's different.
And then all the other people on the road are probably like, why is she going so fast? Like, where's her hurry? Where does she need to be at right now? Why is she so important, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I was going to have you give us the 30-second quick, you know, let us know where you're from, but you already did that. And kind of obviously your work as, would you consider yourself, you know, your work is an art. Are you an artist? Is a photographer an artist?
Yes, I'm an artist, a photographer. I specialize in boudoir photographer, where I take photos of women just to empower them and help them feel beautiful in these images and just kind of boost their confidence.
Yeah. And that's one of the big reasons why I reached out to you to have you on the show is we're really big on confidence here, right? And without confidence, if you don't believe that you can accomplish something, how can you possibly get your community to believe that, right? How can you possibly move forward or get your family to be on board? So we'll get into all that stuff here in a second, but I wanted to hear a little bit more about you if we take it back. Are you born and raised in El Paso?
I was actually born here in California. My parents met in El Paso, but then my dad was in the Army, so they were stationed here in California. So I was born here, and like when I was 3 years old, they divorced, and my dad got custody of me, and he took me back home to El Paso because that's where his family's from and his mom's there. So yeah, I've been living in El Paso since I was three. Grew up with my family, my aunts and my cousins there, and I was living there for, you know, my entire life. I went there, you know, elementary. I went there middle school. I even went to high school, and I even went to college there. And I met my husband before college. You know, no, not before college, but during college. And after I graduated college, we, you know, decided, hey, you know, why don't we give California a try? So back in 2007, we moved here to California, and I had graduated with my bachelor's degree to be a teacher, to be an elementary teacher. So I thought, you know, why don't I go to California? I'll get a job easy there. I'll be making the good bucks. And I get here to California, and it was back at that time when there were kind of laying off a lot of teachers. They were giving, you know, teachers a lot of pink slips. So it was just really, really hard for me to get a job here as a teacher.
That was during the recession, right? Or right before it?
Yeah, back in 2007, 2008, 2009. Yeah, it was it was during that time. Yeah, so it was really, really hard. And my cousins, you know, all my cousins, well, not all my cousins, but the majority of my cousins, they're teachers. And one of them told me that there was a opening at one of her schools. So I was like, yes, get me an interview. So she got me an interview. I interviewed with the principal. They liked me a lot, and I got hired. So I packed all my stuff and we moved back to El Paso, and I taught there for 10 whole years. I taught little second graders. I even taught third graders, and 1 year I taught fourth graders. Yeah,
That's
so.
awesome. That's a such a special personality type to do young kids like that, right? Because I just know I couldn't do it. I love that you were able to, right? And they're so needed, but it's kind of cool that that opportunity fell on your lap, right? And I can just tell based on your spirit already, you seem like such a kind person, right?
Oh, thank you. And you know what? And that's, as a teacher, and because you're working with, young children, they need to learn how to, be encouraged and be, motivated by the teachers. And I just felt like I could really connect with my students and make them feel comfortable and make them feel needed. Even like my, like I wouldn't say like my trouble kids that other teachers were, concerned, and just the next year I would get them on my roster, and they'll tell me, "Oh, be careful with this kid, he's
Yeah.
a little troublemaker," and da 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 da. But I didn't let that get to me, because you know what? I don't know the kid. I wanted to give him a try. So, I was just very understanding with my students. And these kids, I just understood where they were coming from, and I wouldn't like yell at them. I wouldn't, get them in trouble. I would just sit down and tell them, I understand you're feeling frustrated. I'm here for you. If you need anything, don't be scared to like tell me or anything. And that's, I'm your teacher. I'm here to help you out, and I'm, here to help you succeed. And if you're having a bad day, I understand, because sometimes I have a bad day, and I just want you to be able to trust me. So I kind of, wanted to build that trust with my students, so they were a comfortable, coming up to me and telling me about, any issues that they were having in the class, or if they were struggling. Like, I wouldn't make them feel stupid. You know what I mean? Because
Yeah.
I would hear a lot of teachers trying to like downgrade the students and trying to make them feel dumb and make their confidence low. And that was just one thing that I did not believe in. I believed in giving every student a chance, and that's just by, listening to them and just being very encouraging and very motivated. And I love that. I love, and then these students just ended up, really loving me, which I loved. And I, saw them change from the beginning of the school year to the end of the school year. They just improved, their attitude improved, and I just loved hearing from the parents saying, "Oh, my kid, improved so much in your class, their behavior especially." And that's just something that made me feel good as a teacher, that I was able to do, with these kids, and like help them down, and believe in them, and believe in them. You know what? You're not a bad kid. It's just you needed the right teacher to believe in you. And I felt like, I was able to give that to them. So I love that. That was my favorite part of a teacher, is just to be able to connect with these kids and make them comfortable in my classroom and not be afraid to speak up or to hold back or anything. And I never like downgraded. Like, if they raised their hand and if they got something in trouble, I'll just be like, "Oh, I'm like, oh, that's such a good answer." And then like I kind of like tell them, "Okay, well, what do you think about this? Do you think this, do you think this would, make a difference?" And then be like, "Oh, yeah, when I'm like, well, thank you so much for your answer. That was such a good idea, actually." Just to encourage. Like, I just didn't want to, embarrass them in front of, the other students, because I think, that would just lower their self-esteem in the classroom, and then them not wanting to participate. So I just really I put a lot of work into building these relationships with my students, and just trying to make them feel comfortable in my classroom.
That makes my heart so warm, and I appreciate you for doing that. And let's I wish you were my teacher back in the day because I was a wild child, that's for sure. I was definitely, we moved every single year of my life. So I was in a new school every single year. And you can obviously assume, after 3 or 4 moves as a kid, when that starts to become the routine, you're kind of like, yeah, whatever you say, I'm gonna be in a new spot next year anyways. I'm gonna just do my own thing, right? And you try to just start figuring things out on your own. But something that I can kind of tell by your style is the importance of not using force, right? And not leading with force. Because if you really think about it, you see so much, and it takes a lot of patience, I'm assuming. And hopefully you'll touch upon that in a second. Because with business, right? With teaching, with, being a parent or all these, titles that you hold. It's the easy way to just kind of slap a kid or yell at a kid or do this and that and just, okay, he gets it done right then and there. But now you're leading with force, you're leading with fear. You as an adult don't like operating within that area, right? And it's one of those things of just positivity works wonders. Just the idea that like a kid or a human being is going to do something without having proper incentives, right? Or just a proper loving support system. It's like, okay, you want the kid to do homework, you want the kid to do whatever. Guess what, mom or dad? You don't go to work without getting paid. So like, why are you expecting someone else to just do something and not really understand the link, right? Like make it make sense. And I've just, that's been something I wish I could say I've done it forever, but it's been a recent transition of mine and it makes me feel better and it's worked wonders, just like not using force and just being patient, right?
Yes, I completely agree with you on that. And there's this one thing that stands out to me is I every year when there was like, for example, of because I taught second grade, so in first grade they would have, they would call them like problem child, and I didn't like that word. But there was these autistic kids, and they would always put them in my classroom, and I did not mind. And the reason they would put them in my classroom is because I understood them. I not played, but I adjusted myself around their needs, because it's just very hard, because every little thing could probably like trigger them. I remember I had an autistic kid where he completely tore my classroom apart. He threw chairs, he threw can you hear me? Sorry, someone's calling me. Can you hear me still?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Can you
Add
hear
them
me?
in, add them. Yep,
Oh,
add
I'm
them into the
sorry.
three-way.
Can you hear me now?
Oh yeah. Yep, can you hear me? I love
I can
technical
hear you.
difficulties. It's all right. Here, let's pause it and get it figured out. So we're back from technical difficulties. I told you it happens once an episode. This is nothing new. We always get it figured out.
So sorry. Okay. So
We were, go ahead.
I was talking about these autistic kids, and this kid, one time like completely like destroyed my classroom. And so that had happened, and I didn't get mad at him or anything, because I knew that whenever, we would like discipline him or anything, he would slash out even more. So one time he was out in PE. The principal and the PE coach, they call me. It was during my conference. They call me and they tell me that, you know what, your students, having a meltdown. Is there any way you can come and help? And I'm like, oh, yes. So I went running towards him. He was by the fence. He was in a little fetal position, and the coaches and the principal were around him. They're trying to get him up. Nothing would work. So what I did is I, went down his level, and I didn't sit over him. I went down his level, and I put my hand around his back, and I whispered in his ear, and I was like, you know what, sweetie? It's me. It's Mrs. Concepcion. I heard that you're having a hard time, but I'm here to tell you that you are not in trouble. You are not in trouble. How about, you grab my hand and we'll go walk and we'll go to my classroom. That way you can ju just, relax a little bit and gather your thoughts and you'll be okay. You're not in trouble. You are not in trouble, sweetie. I got you. I'm here to help you. And I'm like, and I put my hand out, and he got up, he grabbed my hand, and we started walking to the classroom. And the principal and the coaches were all surprised to see that I was even like, able to like get him out of in that state that he was in, where he just, completely shut down. So yeah, so then, I grabbed his hand. We held hands, all the way to the classroom. I had him sit down, and I told him, you know what, again, you're not in trouble, sweetie. Just put your head down. Here's some water. Give yourself some time to just to relax a little bit. And whenever you're ready to go back out, you're more than welcome to go. If not, you can, stay here for the rest of the PE. I just want to make sure that you're okay. And I just felt like so much, compassion towards these autistic kids, because they can't control themselves, and it's not their fault at all. And I just feel like a lot of teachers didn't know how to, I guess how to go about, the situation, and get them, to not calm down and to be able to trust you. And I don't know, I just feel like I have a lot of compassion, and I put myself in their shoes. So yeah, that's, that felt good. So like every year they would put the autistic kids in my classroom, which I didn't mind, because they ended up, loving me. I ended up loving them. Even the parents was just so grateful. So that's just something that I felt good. It just felt so good to be able to help these kids, going through such a rough, rough patch that they went through.
And I appreciate you sharing that because it really lays a foundation of kind of how you are and your style, right? Regardless of probably how you run your career today and everything like that. But we're gonna talk about school for little. I got one more question, and then we're gonna move it along into obviously more photography and things like that. But what kind of student? I forgot to say this when I was talking. I am at the highest level of ADHD and hyperactivity that you'll find. Like 10 out of 10. If it's not moving, it's not. I walked out of a meeting today that was just getting like, as an adult, even I'm like, hey, if we're not sticking to the script here, like, I'm not here to bullshit. All right. Like, if we're gonna bullshit, we can plan for that. But you told me 12:45, I'm out of here at 12:45. All right. Like, we need to plan another meeting then if it's going out. And I walked right out. And it's like, I've always been that way where I've just needed the right kind of teachers or coaches around me. Sports, that was it. My family put me in sports and the rest was history, but I needed to move. Do you see kids like that? Because boys are not supposed to be sitting in seats 8 hours a day. Nobody's supposed to be sitting in seats 8 hours a day, right? But especially wild, rambunctious boys. And I just remember being like, teachers yelling at me and me getting in trouble. And I'm like, trust me, I don't want to be here either. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm not choosing to do this, right? Just let me go kick a ball or let me go like run around all day. But I don't want to hear, let's go play Cowboys and Indians or whatever. I don't want to sit here and read a book about it. But did you find that? Because you got to see so many kids in their like infancy, like as second grade, third grade, like little people are little people, regardless. What was
Yeah.
your takeaway from that of seeing so many different ones that weren't related to you, right?
You know what, with that, I always try to put myself in their shoes, because growing up, I was, struggling. I had ADHD, but I was never diagnosed with it at an early age, and I also had dyslexia. So I grew up, struggling in school, especially in elementary. And I just felt like these teachers, didn't like really understand, or got me. But with just kids like that, I just try to put myself in their shoes, and I'm a very calm person. I don't raise my voice at them. I talk to them in a calm voice because I think that's very important because I don't want them to feel, attacked or anything like that. And, for example, like, you just get to the point, I want to go, play my sports already. And, I always made my lessons very interactive and very fun because I didn't want them to just sit there and listen to me talk. Because who would, because if I were to just sit, stand there and just be talking through the whole time, I would lose like these kids' attention and it would be hard for me to like get them back to like pay attention to me and get their work. So no, I had to think of ways to like make the activities fun and engaging so yeah, I would do that a lot. There was this one where we got to use Oreo cookies to teach them the moon phases. So they got an Oreo cookie and then they would have to make the food phases and then the moon phases and then put them on little poster boards and just to make it fun for them because I just didn't want them to be bored or anything and they get to learn at the same time. So yeah, that's just something that I just really, really thought about. I just love thinking about the kids because I was the one struggling and I felt like, if I had that as a teacher, I think I would have been, better in elementary. But, it was just all about my students. It was just all about my students. And then I planned my lesson plans, around the different personalities that I had in the classroom. And yeah, so.
Tell me about your husband. What is he a business owner as well, or what's his background?
My husband, I've known him for it's going to be 23 years this year, and we've been married for 16 years. My husband's an Aries, so am I. I'm an Aries too, so he's like a very competitive person. But right, he's a mail carrier. He's a mail
Oh, cool.
carrier, so he delivers mail. He's just a very, very supportive husband. Like he's always supported me 100% in whatever I've done. And he's just like my number one cheerleader. I just love him so much because he's just like honestly my number one cheerleader, like just always supporting me and my crazy ideas. And sometimes he just had to put me in check because I do some, I'm very impulsive. So I just do things without thinking. And, sometimes he'll like, tell me like, okay, well, maybe you should think about this. And I'm like, oh, okay, but I still want to do it. And he'll be like, okay, whatever. But
I
no,
see.
yeah, but no, he's just very supportive. So yeah, he's just a mail carrier. He started during the pandemic because that's why we came back to California because we were here in California since 2007, 2009, but then I got the teaching job in El Paso. So we moved back to El Paso and I taught there for 10 whole years. My husband was the one having a hard time, finding a career where he because he wanted to be the breadwinner and unfortunately in El Paso such a small town and it's really hard to find
Yeah, I get it.
something that pays really good without having a college education which he didn't which he doesn't have so he told me, you know what, why don't I go to, California, find a job there, and once I do, it's your turn to take the break. It's your turn because you took care of me for 10 years, and I feel like I owe that to you. So, why don't I start working, and why don't you focus on your thing that you love, which is photography? So yeah, during the pandemic, he came here. He found a job at the post office, and this was in July of 2020. And in September, My mom went to go help me in El Paso, and we moved everything over here back to California. And I just, hit it off with starting my photography business. And he's just very, very, very supportive. And I'm very, very, very lucky to have him in my life and for him to, just to be supportive and my best friend and, just never judging me.
What's your husband's name?
His name is Lester.
Shout out to Lester. I love to hear that. And you took the words literally like out of my mouth. And I was hoping the conversation would go this way because support, it's something that I know a lot of young men in my community, especially, it's a hard thing. It's not a natural thing that I was taught, right? I was taught do things, do everything, and don't ask for help. And if you ask for help, I'm gonna get yelled at, or someone's gonna talk a bunch of shit, and then like it's gonna make me feel like I'm bad, and now I don't wanna, I'm less susceptible to ask or receive help in the next go around, right? But my definition a couple years ago, not even a couple years ago, last year, right, of support was okay, get out the way, I'll do it for you, and then you'll watch me do it, and then hopefully you'll pick a thing or two up and you won't have to ask for help anymore, right? Nobody wants that's that definition of support, nobody wants, right? So actually hearing that like the value within that partnership or being in an amazing, loving relationship, it is support, right? Because I know for ladies, it's like second nature. We totally get that, right? But with a lot of guys, especially like masculine, manly men, like I'm the type of guy that's like, you want to jump out of a plane? Cool, let's do it right now. Like, let's go, right? But support and what I'm finding is like a power that I want to continue to develop. And one of my favorite qualities is like, yeah, I'm here if you need me, right? I don't have to do it for you, but if you need somebody, oh, I got an art show coming up. Can you come out? Absolutely, I'll be there, right? This and that. And it's just awesome that that's like the thing that you hold so highly. Can you give us an example or one of your favorite examples, maybe, of your husband supporting you recently, or you know what I mean, in the past few years, let's say. That way, the listener, me in specifically, can have like hard-earned definitions. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, I'm a guy that's like, not get to the point, but okay, support. But what the fuck is that, right? Like, I can't grab that with my hands. So tell me a story about that.
For example, this podcast actually, I had you reached out to me sometime, in the summer of last year, and I started, telling them about it, and I was just like really nervous, talking to someone. And I told him about it, and he told me, what, babe, I think this is, a great opportunity for you. I think you should do it. You're a great person when it comes to conversations. You know how to handle yourself well, and you know what? I honestly believe in you. I believe that you can do this. And I'm like, I don't know, babe. I'm just so nervous. What if I, start stuttering? And what if I like make a fool out of myself? And he was just telling me like, and if you do, so what? That's just the way you are. People want to see that. People want to see your true authentic self. And plus, you're a badass, babe. You're an Aries. Whatever you put your mind to it, you're able to accomplish it. And that's one thing that I've always admired about you is that once you say you're gonna do something, you get down to it, and you get shit done. And that's one thing that I love about you is that once you set, like I said, like once you set your mind to it, you get things done and you go for it. And he's just like, my number one cheerleader, and he just told me, you know what, just do it. You're gonna be okay. So yeah, and I, completely forgot, get back to you. And then like, he was actually asked me the other day, have you heard back, about the podcast guy? And I'm like, oh, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go ahead and take your advice, honey. And I'm just gonna do it. I feel like you believe in me, and that's all I need to hear. And thank you for pushing me. So yeah, that's when I, reached out to you, and now we here we are. But
Perfect.
yeah, I can't think of like another one where he's also supporting me, but he's like supported me in like so many things. Like oh, also like if I'm he always wants me to learn how to speak up for myself because I'm one person where it, something happens to me and I just say, oh, well, it is what it is. I'm just gonna let it go. I'm not gonna say anything. But he always tells me, like, you know what, honey? You can't, let people walk all over you. You need to learn how to just stand up for yourself and be true with them and don't tell them yes, because I say yes to a lot of things. And he just tells me you need to learn how to say no. And he's just like always like giving me just like tips and advice because he's an Aries as well. So he's a people person. Like he just knows how to have conversations. He's like smart guy, like very book smart. So he'll like give me like advice on what I can say and stuff. So he's just my number one cheerleader. And yeah, so I mean there's just so
And
many things.
here's the cool part too. And what I like about both of those stories that you said is support is almost just having that person in your back pocket, right? Not necessarily having to use them or not necessarily having them do anything, right? But just their presence and being there is valuable. And I think that's something that growing up, I just never like saw or heard, or it just wasn't like it was, oh, what are you standing there doing nothing? And I'm like, I'm supporting. People would be like, support? What the fucking support? This guy's over here supporting, doing nothing, right? You know what I mean though, right? Of just like, and in my opinion, that is the best quality that you can have, is to really support somebody and sometimes give them that nudge if needed, but just let them know, like, hey, go out there and try your best. And if you do fail, I'm still going to be here, right? And we can figure it out and go through maybe the mistakes and just make a plan to try again at a future date. And that's just awesome to hear about. And you talking about like kind of gaining your confidence and stepping out there and doing something that's out of your wheelhouse, like a podcast, right? I do this so often. Sometimes I forget that like not everybody does this for hours and hours a week, right? Not everybody does it. And it's just because this is my little world that I'm trying to create, right? And I want to hear more about the beauty within photography. It's not perfect, right? Just like this show. I want to hear the birds in the back. I want to hear wind. I want technical difficulties because that's life. That's really what's going on, right? If I came in here with a list of 10 questions and I was like, okay, we did six, let's do seven, now let's do eight, it wouldn't be an authentic conversation like we're having right now, where we're learning about each other and we're hopefully, trying to pick up, you got something, I got something, we both get better, right? And my question though is, tell me about your philosophy when you're dealing with women, because you're dealing with people's most vulnerable parts, right? Oftentimes with some of your art, and it could be the scariest thing. Luckily, not for me. I actually want to walk outside naked. People tell me to put more clothes on. I've just always been that way, right? Like,
How are you?
even in the office, right? My background in finance, I'm not a suit and tie guy, right? I actually have to be like, oh my God, I have to put nice clean pants on today. Like, all right, let me put them on and then go in. Whereas, how do you explain to these people that you work with that, hey, the most beautiful parts of you aren't going to be the ones that are typically perfect, right?
I agree. Usually when I before I even book a client or anything, I offer a Zoom meeting. So that's one of the processes. They'll inquire and then I'll send them an email and then I'll let them know, you know what? This is an experience. It's not just show up, I'm gonna take your photos, I'll go home, edit them, and then send them to you, and that's it. No, I actually want to connect with these women. I want to get to know them. I want to get to know their insecurities. I want to get to know what they love about themselves. And during the Zoom meeting, I also tell them, you know what, and this is also a time to see if we're the perfect fit or not, you know, to see if you and I vibe, and if we do perfect, you know, let's go on with the photo shoot. So during these Zoom meetings, you know, I ask these women, you know, I tell the women about my experience and you know, from start to finish, and I just tell them, you know what, you're going to go into this experience. Yes, you're gonna feel uncomfortable at first because, you know, you met me once through the Zoom meeting, and then you're gonna have me, you know, taking your nudes, and of course you're gonna feel uncomfortable, but my goal is to make you feel, you know, completely comfortable. I want you, because that's my number one, you know, goal, is to make these women feel comfortable around me, and I do not want them to feel, you know, intimidated or like shy. And so yeah, I tell them in these Zoom meetings, my take is just to, you know, make you feel, you know, completely comfortable. And during these Zoom meetings, I just go over, you know, exactly like the whole process where they'll go in. It's like a luxury experience. You know, I tell them it's not just a shoot burn, it's a luxury experience. You'll go in. I'll take your clothes. I'll spread them out, and then you'll sit down on the chair, and you'll get your hair and makeup done. You'll get all glammed up. I'll ask them a questionnaire before the session starts, and I'll have like their favorite alcohol drink. I'll have like some fruits and some vegetables and stuff, and for them to like, you know, eat and drink while they're getting their glam done, while they're getting their hair and makeup done. And then during that time, I'm talking to them, asking them about life, you know, just like how, you know, regular two, you know, women talk. You know, I try to, you know, talk about, you know, any tea, or, you know, just to have that, you know, best friend conversations with them, just to make them feel comfortable. And right after that, you know, I think their nervousness just, you know, starts, you know, going away just a little bit. And then right before the photo shoot, you know, I'll tell them, and I'm hyping them up. Like I'm telling them, you're in good hands, girl. Oh my God, you look so fucking beautiful. I love your makeup. These images are gonna be awesome. So then once the photo shoot starts, like I will go in and I will show them the pose myself, rather than telling them, oh, go just stand there, put your hand there and smile like that. No, dude, I'm actually like on the fucking couch. I'm like with my booty popping up in the air, and I'm like, and this is what you do. And then they're like, oh, okay. So then they get in that pose, and you know, and then I'll, you know, take a lot of take, you know, some photos. And then what I like and what I love to do, I know, you know, some photographers don't do this, but I actually like to show them, you know, behind my camera and just be like, girl, look at this photo. This is you. Like, look at you. That's all you, girl. Like, look at how fucking hot you look. And yeah, they'll look at themselves and they're like shocked. They're like, oh my God. So I feel like after seeing themselves like that, they, you know, get more comfortable, and they're just like they're on top of the world. They're like, if they had been modeling before, they're like, just get really comfortable, and it just makes the whole session go a lot smoother. 'Cause that's my point. It's just to make them feel comfortable the entire time. And then, so yeah, after these photo shoots, they come out of there just feeling themselves, just feeling, you know, like they're on top of the world. And that's like the one thing that I love seeing, is just their confidence just shoot through the roof. And just like, compared to how they come in to when they leave, it's just, you know, so different. And that's like my high, is when I see them, you know, like, oh dude, that's fucking me. Like, and I'm like, yeah girl, that's all you, dude. I just posed you in ways that insinuated your things that you love about yourself, but that's all you, girl. Like, you know, I told you got this. So Yeah, so that's kind of like my process with these women and trying to make them feel comfortable.
And I love hearing the process as it's so refined now, years in that you've been doing this. Did you know that this is how it was going to look when you set out to do it? Like, how did you even get into photography before you made it a business?
So when I was in El Paso, my son was born in 2011, and I was telling my husband, I want to take, I just want to take some photos, just for fun, just to document my son, growing up. We went to Target and I bought, one of those $200 DSLR, Canon cameras, and with the lens kit that comes with it. And I just started, taking photos of my son, and I really liked them. I'm like, ew, I guess I'm pretty good. So then I just started asking, my cousins when they were pregnant. I'm like, hey, can I, is it okay if I take your maternity photos? I mean, I'm not good, I'm still practicing, but I'd be, happy if you can help me out with this. And sure enough, they let me, photograph them. And little by little, I started photographing my friends, my coworkers from my school that I used to work at. And then I started charging like $50 in the beginning, just because, I didn't know anything about it. And I'm like, yeah, I just do $50. So yeah, as years went by, I started charging a little bit more. Probably like the most was like $125 for like all of the images. And then they would start referring me to their friends. So that's how I got my clientele in El Paso. But I never did boudoir photographer like I did here, like I started here in California. It was always just maternity. I did newborn, I did family portraits. And there was one time in El Paso where this lady came up to me and she asked me, do you do boudoir photography? And I told her, you know what, I don't, but I'm willing to try. So yeah, sure enough, I was going online, I was, looking up, some photo ideas that I could try. I even
Yeah,
looked
that's
at
got to be interesting to get into, huh? Like, well, what poses do we hit? What do we like? If you just told me to do that, I'm like, all right, I guess spread your cheeks. I don't know. Like, how do we? Because
Right.
it's a funny thing to be a beginner at. I've never thought about that. But we'll continue.
Yes, yeah, so I needed to prepare myself because, like, you know what? This is like a woman's confidence. Like, I don't want to like ruin her confidence because she didn't like her photos or she thought that that's how she really looked like. So I really wanted to make her feel good. So I sat down and I did a lot of research on how to like photograph women. And I took her photos and I fell in love with her reaction. That was the thing that did it for me, was their reactions to the photos that they saw themselves. They saw themselves in a different light. Their confidence, just went up the roof. They were just like, girl, that's me. Oh, hell yeah. And I'm like, fuck yeah, girl, that's all you. And I just love the way she fell in love with herself. So, that was kind of like what did it for me is like, you know what, I want to do boudoir photography. So I didn't do it again when I was in El Paso, but when I did move, to California during the pandemic, my husband told me, you know what, why don't you go, California and, follow your dream. You can quit, teaching, which at that time teaching was starting to become very difficult, not because of my students or anything, because I love my students. That was my favorite part of the day, is just being in the classroom with my students. But the thing that took a toll on me was all of the requirements that were required for a teacher, like keeping documentations for the students that were struggling, thinking of new ways to teach them, and then going through all these meetings, and then when the principal will walk into your classroom and with her little notes, taking
Linger
notes.
around, yeah.
Yes,
The
it's
commercialization of everything, right?
yes. So that was, it just took a toll on me, and it took a lot of stress to even one point where I taught fourth grade, which is a testing grade. And when it's a state testing grade, it's a lot more, it's just a lot more hard work, and they're just more on those teachers because it's all about the test scores for them. For the school, it was just all about the test scores. They just wanted these kids to be passing so they can look good.
'Cause that's how they get funding and all that and yada yada yada. I hear what you're saying. It's like a factory farming situation, and that's why.
Yes, just I did not like that at all, and it came to a point where I had a mental breakdown. I one time before, school, right? I just remember so vividly. I woke up and I had like this feeling in the pit of my stomach, like I don't think I can go to school. Like I feel like I don't want to be here anymore. And that scared the shit out of me, thinking that I don't want to be here on this earth anymore. So my husband was asleep. I didn't want to wake him up. I didn't want to worry him or anything. And I'm getting ready to go to school, and I'm like, what do I do? So I text my cousin, who was a social worker. And once I told her that I didn't want to be here anymore, she suggested that I go to a clinic. It's a clinic where you go in and you just tell them what you're going through, whatever. And I didn't know what it was, so I show up to this clinic, and I'm telling, I guess, the therapist, whoever there that was interviewing me, what I was feeling and stuff. And she tells me, well, I think it's best, if you stay here, for us for like a week, and that way we get to help you. You'll go through therapy. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I think that's a good idea. I'll go ahead and I'll stay here. And my husband, took me there. He was so worried about, what I was going through, because it was the first time him ever hearing that about me feeling so low and just so stressed and so depressed about, actually wanting, not to exist anymore. And I went to the thing, and once I got in there, it's like an all women's group. It's in a building. I went to the third floor, and there was just all these women, but these women just like some of them were just like not there, and it kind of felt like a prison. And that scared the shit out of me, because you couldn't go to the restroom without someone being outside. You couldn't take a shower. You couldn't, if you wanted to use a razor, someone had to be there in the restroom to make sure you weren't cutting yourself, that you're actually using the razor, to shave your legs, to shave your armpits. And
I do kind of need help with that though, because I'm pretty aggressive with a razor. So that would actually sound pretty nice for me. Like, hey, can you get this spot for me? I got you though.
yeah. And then it kind of felt like a prison to me. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I don't like this. So I called my husband crying. I told him, you know what, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. I just feel like I'm in a prison. Like, if I did something wrong and they're like punishing me. And
When was this again?
this was back in 2012.
Gotcha.
And I had just had my son a year earlier, so I was kind of going through postpartum depression as well, and all this stress from school. And so then I talked to the doctor, and I told her, you know what, I want to leave. I don't want to be here. And she's like, okay, well, in order for you to do that, you would have to go to court, and the judge would be the one to say, okay, you can go, but if not, you will have it on your record that you left the facility on your own without the approval of the judge or anything, and that'll stay on my record. I was like, fuck, I don't want that on my record. Like, I don't want anyone knowing about this. So
Hold on now, you lost me for a second. Was this a legal matter? You were appointed to go there, or how did the you were forced to go there?
She kind of like convinced me to go into this into the into it's called like a rehab into
Okay.
rehab, and I didn't know. I thought that I could always leave on my own will, but I didn't know that it was strict like that, where they were very serious about like you even thinking about taking your own life. So they just wanted to make sure that you were safe, like out on your own.
Oh,
So
so they put you in a system like a rehab facility, right, to get the help that, these, people need in that time. And then if you leave, I guess it goes in your record, so you'll get flagged for something like that. Oh, okay, I understand.
exactly. Yes. Yeah, so you know what? I had no choice but to stay there. I stayed there for a week. We did activities. I met, women that were going through, several things that they were going through. We would have therapy group sessions. We would have therapy, on our own with a therapist. And I got on antidepressants. I got on anxiety medication. And then towards the end, they had your family members go in, and my husband and my cousin, who was also a teacher, she worked there with me at the same school. God bless her heart. I know she was doing it to like help me out, and but I felt like she was like my mom. Like she's like, oh no, you're doing this wrong. You need to do this better. Just like, she acted like my mother, and I didn't like that. So, they went in and I talked to them, and they, completely understood where I was coming from. And yeah, I got released after a week. And you know what? I, to this day, I'm very thankful for my cousin to tell me about, that place. And I'm glad I ended up sticking around to it because, it helped me a lot on how to control these thoughts that I was having. And they, told me that I had to continue seeing a psychiatrist, every month. So that helped. So for like the past, the whole 10 years that I was over there, I was seeing, the psychiatrist and, just helping with my mental health, because I thought that that was very important, is my mental health. And so it was like hard, like really hard, because, just teaching itself took a toll on me, and I just felt like, I can't do this anymore. It's just really affected me so much. And when my husband told me, you know what, you don't have to teach anymore, you can just focus on your photography, because I don't want you, being stressed and not liking your job or anything. So I am very grateful for my husband to give me this opportunity, and like realizing that, I just wasn't in love with teaching anymore. And so yeah, that's where I'm here at. I cut down on my medications. I'm not taking all the meds that I'm taking because I, discovered weed. And I was such a goody tush. I didn't, I thought weed was so bad. I'm like, oh, people who smoke weed, they're lazy asses. Just the stereotypical thing that you hear about, stoners and stuff. So I didn't start smoking till I was 35 years old. I'm 42 right now. And
That's funny. I like that.
yeah, I didn't start smoking because I always thought that it was such a bad thing. So, my cousin, one of my cousins, told me, why don't you just take a hit of it? It's gonna help relax your anxiety and stuff. And sure enough, it helped out. And I've cut back on a lot of my medications. I've cut back like on 75% of my meds.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, and I just like, I just, weed has helped me with, my mental health and my anxiety, and just, the natural stuff, and not have to, take these meds all the time that were just not they put me in like a zombie state, I guess, like where I didn't have like no feelings really, where I was just like monotone, just like very like, I don't know, I just didn't like that about myself.
Like
So
the river wasn't flowing, you were just blocked off, huh?
exactly, yeah. So
And it's kind of funny that you, like, you know, your age category and people growing up when you grew up had that stigma of like, oh my God, it's so bad. Like, don't smoke weed. If you smoke weed, it's a gateway. You're gonna end up on meth like a week later and yada yada yada. I'm big on balance. Everything's got to take balance, right? So yeah, if you take too much of anything, I'm sure if you eat way too many peanuts, guess what? You're gonna develop some sort of an allergy or a sickness or whatever. But like,
right.
just like if you drink too much water, you're gonna probably go to the hospital, right? So everything is in balance, and when you're able to kind of be mindful of that, it your relationship with those things, obviously you can find ways that help, and everybody's situation's different too, right? So it's like one thing that fixes works or doesn't work for one person isn't going to be the case with another person, right? It's case by
Hi.
case. And I just like that you found that for yourself, and you're a big advocate for that because it's important. One of the last things that I wanted to touch upon, and then I'll sort of start to land the plane here. You told me that you started charging $50 for, you know, your sessions in the beginning, right? I find this particularly with artists, but also with entrepreneurs or small business owners, anyone who wants to open up something. This concept of like time, and especially if you're coming from somewhere where you're an employee, right? Where like you get paid based on your time. Like, oh my God, if we work all week, we can make this much minimum wage, however much it is an hour, right? It's funny because I had a really awesome mentor one time. This guy honestly wasn't even a mentor. I was about to drop out of college. Like, I had mentally, my grades were fine, mind you. I was, you know, an okay student. Just mentally, I was like, I think I'm done. This is enough for me. I was about halfway through and I was like, I don't think I'm gonna finish it out. Sitting in a Starbucks, studying for this African American history, like, tests that I had to take, Malcolm X and Frederick Douglass and things like that. And I remember just literally being like, when I leave this Starbucks, I don't think I'm going to be a college student anymore. And there was this older Mexican guy. Are you Hispanic?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm
We're...
Mexican American.
Gotcha, gotcha. So,
My grandparents are from Ciudad Juárez,
oh,
Mexico.
cool. Were are your parents born in America?
And my parents were born here, in El Paso,
Awesome.
Texas. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Awesome. So this guy was a landscaper, right? You could tell, really hardworking man. Like, he just was working outside all day, every day. And he was sitting next to me, and it was about lunchtime. And he was like sweaty and, you know, just like getting a cup of coffee or some water to cool off on his break. And he looked at me, kind of just stressed out with all my materials and my, you know, pencils and pens and flashcards. And he was like, oh, are you in school? And I was like, yeah. He's like, man, that's really good. That's really good. Keep it up, man. You got to stay in school because one day when you graduate, you want to get paid for what's inside of your head instead of what your hands do. You don't want to be an old guy like me just working with his hands all day, right? But you can stay in school and really make something really big one day, right? And that was kind of one of those big pivotal moments where I was just like, okay, maybe finish the test, right? Like, let's study a little bit more. Obviously, I ended up passing and, you know, graduated and, you know, moved on. But that's the thing when it comes to entrepreneurship is you don't get paid for your time, right? You get paid for the value that you provide, right? And you get better and better with certain things. Think about this. We've been doing this podcast for 60 minutes, right? Yeah, it's 60 minutes. Could you, if this was a business or whatever it was, right? It's 60 minutes, but the shit that I was able to cover with you over 60 minutes, it takes years to do. It takes hundreds of hours of working this craft to be this good on a microphone and for us to make it look so easy, right? And that's the part where I really get juiced up because a lot of people, when they're jumping into something new, maybe they don't have the confidence or the experience yet. You can't look at it like some people. I heard this quote one time. It's like, the difference between me and you, let's say like an average person, is you count time, right? Whereas I make time count. And that's where, when you kind of get to that level, right? And I've never wanted to be an hourly employee for anything. I've successfully been able to do that since I've graduated college, right? But the idea of, cool, we're going to have an hour meeting, let's say, I'm going to get paid based off the value that I provide to you, right? Whether it's finance or whether it's, business or a podcast or whatever it is, I'm going to make that time count. And as an artist, something so abstract is I'm going to make a living off of the creative thoughts that I have in my head that I can provide to our community and our world. It's like, you're going to get paid as much as you believe that you should get paid, right? That's easier said than done. But art is one of the things where art is what moves culture. I don't know if I said that on our phone call, but the reason why I want to have as many artists on the show as possible is because 1,000 years from now, when they dig our bodies up from the Egyptian pyramids or whatever it is that we have, right? They're not going to look at my finance company and be like, bro, Venture was amazing with the spreadsheets. Like the way that he worked his systems, oh my God. They're going to look at the art that we left behind, right? The photos, the music, the tattoos. Hey, why does this weirdo have pink hair? What's going on?
Right.
Like, what is the deal? Why are they wearing rings on their fingers? I don't understand it. So,
Yeah.
art is what ultimately moves culture, and it's the most important thing. So, as a new photographer, whoever it is that you're starting out, you got to understand that role that you're playing. It's very important, right?
Agree. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
And it becomes one of those things of, is it just through the experience and, actually working your craft where you start to build up that confidence to go, hey, I want to be paid more, right? It doesn't matter. Maybe you're clicking the button 100 times or 1,000 times. Guess what? You don't get paid for how many photos you take, right? You get paid for how many great photos can we get out of it. And that is something that it's the biggest compliment that when people try to get me, oh, all you do is get on a microphone, or all you do is this. It's easy. Okay, you do it. I would love to see you do it then.
Exactly.
Go ahead, make something this authentic, this creative, and this informative in this small space of time. Go ahead, right? So tell me, when did you start to gain your confidence as you started, excelling in your business and growing it and, scaling to where? What was the biggest breakthrough for you? Because the way my brain works, you know me, it's calculate, it's efficiency, I'm very logistical. But as a creative like yourself, where did you start to find your footing and to kind of make those steps up the ladder?
Like you mentioned before, I started with, charging $50, for all the photos. And because I just felt like since I was, such a beginner, I didn't feel like I was worth it. But, as the years, went by, I started charging, little by little, like 100, 125 was probably like the most I would charge is 125, because I thought that was still a lot. But the thing that changed me was, during the pandemic, I was on all these Facebook groups of photographers, and I noticed that, well, I knew about Boudoir Photographer, and there was this one group where it was just a whole mess of Boudoir photographers, and I was reading, their posts that some of them were making, over $1,000. And I was like, what? I could be making $1,000, to like just to like give these women some confidence and like do what I love is taking their photos and editing. I'm like, I am so down for this. So I started investing in workshops on how I can provide these clients this experience, because I didn't want them to come in and just be like, oh, you just told me how to pose and took my photos and you edit them and you charge me $1,500. I think that was like a waste of time. But with the with these workshops, they taught me that, I need to provide this experience for them. And of course, like if you're gonna, pay, over $1,000, you would expect to, go through an experience and like, actually let it be worth it. So So I had all these like women, you know, just I just been reading about all these women, you know, making 1500, and then some of them even fucking making $8,000 for a collection. And I'm like, you know what? That's what I want to do. You know, that's where I'm gonna get there, and that's my goal. Is I want to be able to provide for my family. I want to be able to, like, you know, retire my husband. And I just want, you know, us to be able to live like a comfortable life, you know, be able to travel. And you know, at the same time, I get to do what I love, and I get to, you know, give these women an experience, an unforgettable experience. So, the first time I raised my prices, I did a, it's called a model call. And during this model call, what you do is you get all these women to apply. And when they're applying, you ask them, you know, certain questions. And those questions kind of like gears you to picking the right person to do this model call for you. And there's like a, I guess sales marketing, what I guess a sales marketing, what's the word, tip or like a guide that you go through to try to like sell them instead of like making it like a model experience. So, I said like, yes, you'll go, you'll, I need a girl to like, you know, model for me, but you know, you would have to hop in a Zoom call or on a phone call with me. And I was so nervous. I was so nervous. I even had a phone script. I remember I was like, oh my God, what if I start stuttering and like I completely screw up? And I'm like, oh my God. So no, I got on this phone with this girl. I followed the phone script, and I gave her my collections, and the cheapest collection I had was $900. And at the end of the phone call, you know, I told her, you know, is this something that you're wanting to do? And with the model call, you'll get a the session fee discounted. So what the session fee is, it only pays for your studio time. It only pays for your glam time where you get your hair and makeup done. It pays for, you know, me giving you advice on what to wear during your photo shoot. It also gives, it also pays for, you know, me guiding you, posing you, telling you, you know, how to stand, where to put your hands, what to do with your facial expressions. And it also pays for your reveal and viewing session where they get to see their images for the very first time. So that originally I had put it for like $300. So that was just $300 plus $900 for the collection. So what I told her, you know what, I'll go ahead and I'll cancel the session fee, and I also offer payment plans. So I think that was one thing that, you know, got her on board was when I said the payment plans. And yeah, she ended up saying yes. And I was like, oh my God, I made my first fucking $900 sale. Like, you know what, if I can do this, like I can do this, like I totally see myself doing this for like the rest of my life. Is like I get to empower these women and make money off of it. So yeah, it was just like a big like girl, you got this, you did it. Now go and work your magic and continue doing what you do, and don't be afraid to like, you know, charge these women, because I mean, because I'm worth it. That's one mindset that I need to put myself is I'm worth it. I'm, you know, I work hard at what I do, and I deserve it. So that's just this mindset that I had to change myself, because in the beginning I was like, no, I don't deserve it. Why am I charging so much? Like I was just
Where
really
does that
down.
come from? Where does that mindset come from? Of because I see it occasionally as well, right? Of, oh, I'm not worth it. Why not you though, right? You work hard, you practice your craft. Now, I completely understand if you're somebody that's like, ah, I only touch a camera once a month. I don't really edit, you know, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know how all these buttons work, right? Yeah, that's somebody that doesn't deserve it, right? If I were to walk into your position, I wouldn't be like, sure, give me $1,000. They'd be like, Venture, you don't know what you're doing, obviously, but certain things that you work hard at. Fitness, for example, right? I've spent 20 years of my life understanding fitness. If somebody wants me to come in and really explain something on a high level, I understand what I'm walking into. Like, I'm not just some regular guy at 24-hour fitness. They're not even in business anymore. That's why I say that, right? But I go, cool, you want to really take care of your body? This is how we're going to do it. This is the expertise that I kind of hold. And I'm not saying I'm the greatest guy ever at it, but I know what I'm talking about because I've done it before, right? I've done it thousands of times before. Explain to me. What's missing? Is it just your lack of exposure to it? Or like, where does that, is it your childhood? Like, where does that mindset come from? Because I think a lot of people are in the same boat as you, right? Trying to maybe make that jump from, am I worth it? To, I know I'm worth it.
Just, I guess because it was the very first time doing it, so I was just kind of like, what if it doesn't work? Like, what if I'm, putting, all this time into it, and what if I end up failing? And then I like this is where my husband comes in. I started, expressing to him, the thoughts that were going in my head, and telling him, what if it fails? What if I'm not good enough? What if these women don't want to pay, for this experience and stuff? And my husband being him, just, honey, whatever you set your mind to it, you put your all into it, and you deserve to, you deserve to, go ahead and, charge, these prices, because you've worked so hard, and I believe in you. I honestly believe in you, and I know you believe in yourself, and you need to believe in yourself, because you are good, honey. Like, I've seen your work. I've seen the way you interact with people. You're, very, vibe, you have good vibes with people. You just know how to talk with people. And that's one thing that I wish I knew how to do, is talk to people. And you're very good at that, babe. So, like, don't ever second guess yourself. If you're a fucking Aries, like, you got this. So, like, just stop, bitching and making yourself, less worth it, and like, boss the fuck up and do it, because that's how I used to be when I was young. I was just so confident. But ever since my breakdown or whatever, I felt like my confidence has kind of like gone away. But he reminded me, he was like, just remember how you used to be. You need to be like that. So yeah, so that's when I was just like, you know what, you're right, I am that girl. Like, I can do this. And I know I don't take no for an answer. And if I don't know how to do this thing, then I'll make sure, and I'll like research my ass off and like figure it out on my own. It's just, and he's just like someone that reminded me of who I am and what I'm capable of. And I'm very grateful for that.
I think one of the biggest breakthroughs that I kind of went through in the year 2024 last year is I've always been a gifted speaker. Since the day I was born, I've always just had the gift of gab, right? Just whoever it is, it doesn't matter if it's five people or 5,000 people, I don't have that like nervousness when people hop on microphones, right? I actually am nervous if I'm not on the microphone. It's a weird thing to where I go, if you want this event to be good, I recommend you give Venture the microphone. I'm not saying do it, but I'm just saying it'll probably go right more times than it doesn't, right? And I've been wrestling with this idea of failure, right? Because I've talked to so many people and I'm starting to understand, even within my world, I'm like, oh, why are so many of people in my community, myself included, so scared to fail, right? oh, 90% of it's got to be because you think those opportunities aren't going to be there anymore. If you mess up once, it's going to domino effect, and all of a sudden, you're not allowed to touch a camera anymore. Venture's not allowed to touch a microphone anymore. If there's one bad episode, oh my God, everything's gone well away. Hey, I know my show's fucking good. I know Natural Thoughts and Talks is an amazing show and an amazing platform, and I'm hoping that we're going to grow this and scale this to help a lot of people one day, right? And I already know that because we've already done that, right? So it's
Hell
one of
yeah.
those things to where one bad episode, one failure, one bad shoot doesn't define you. And guess what? You just keep swinging. Like it sounds cliche, but you literally just keep shooting, keep taking photos, right? Keep recording. And if your heart's in the right place and you're dedicated to mastering your craft, I don't understand a formula that doesn't lead to you will improve, right?
And like you were saying, is like if you do mess up or something, use that as a learning experience. How can you better yourself from not making that mistake again? And I feel like it's very important for you to, make mistakes, and it's okay to make mistakes because you learn from them. And I feel that that helps you grow as a person is through your mistakes, right? So that's one thing that I feel like, it's okay to fail, but I can't just let that get me down or anything. I need to use that to push me and to like actually be like, no, I'm not gonna be, failing all the time. I'm actually gonna like actually work at it and get better and make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had such a good time chatting with you. We could go for another 2 hours, right? We're barely scratching the surface. So we're going to go ahead and start to land the plane here on my last two final questions. And then I definitely want to have you back on sooner rather than later if you're interested,
Yes,
right?
I am. I'm so down.
And the first question, you don't have to have an answer to. I just want to open it up and see if it takes us anywhere. And that's, is there anything that I didn't get around to asking you so far that you wanted to maybe highlight or go more in depth about? It could be business related, non-business related, just a dream you've had recently or anything. Just does anything specific come to mind?
I guess I just want to talk about the type of women that I've had service. Like I've had a firefighter who was recently going through a divorce, so she wanted to find herself and kind of like a milestone, like saying like, you know what, because she had like a rough marriage and stuff. So I thought that that was pretty badass of her, is to do this kind of empowering photo shoot, is just to help her realize that, you know what, I don't need no man. Like I'm good with just loving myself, and I'm good with being without him, and I'm gonna be fine. And this is just something that I want to do for myself. So I thought that was really cool. And I also get, other women
That
who.
journey, before you skip off of that, that journey is like the hardest route to take sometimes, right? And especially you with your, thing that you said 10 years ago or so with your breakdown, how can you expect to love somebody else if you don't have the capacity to love yourself first, right? And that's something that, I've had to even rebuild and really do just so much journaling about being like, hold on now, why? If I treat other people so well, how come I don't treat myself that kind, right? And that's a hard, it seems so easy, like that's just the easiest thing, but it's hard to do, right?
It's very, very hard. And that's what I want. That's what I want these women to come out of these photo shoots, is I want them to be like, you know what? Like, it's okay to love yourself. It's okay to put yourself first, before anyone else. And I know it's so hard because you always want to do things for other people or say yes to other people, but you're never there to like actually be there for yourself, like you said. And finding, I think once you learn how to love yourself, I think things for you will go so much smoother, so much easier because you know what you want and what you don't want and what you tolerate and what you don't tolerate. And just loving yourself, I think it's like the number one rule that you can do is just learn how to love yourself because that helps guide you with what you want to do with, a lot of things in life. And because if you, like you said, if you don't love yourself, then you're always just going to be doubting yourself. You're always just going to be thinking negative. You're always going to be worried about what other people think. And it's just going to hold you back from many, many things. And I just think it's just very, very important to to learn how to love yourself.
Absolutely. That's a great thing. I love that that question took us there. The
Yeah.
last question that I have is my favorite because it helps this show get guided into places and spaces that I couldn't predict that I would end up taking us, right? And this is your time to shout out some of your people, right? Some of the people that you would like to see me reach out to possibly at a future date and see if they'd be interested in maybe sharing a little bit about their journey on our show, just like you've been a guest, right? So are there maybe two to three people that you can shout out right now that are maybe, hardworking moms or really cool entrepreneurs or just anybody with a great spirit like yourself that you'd like to see me see if they'd want to come on?
Oh, you know what? My makeup artist, her name is Denise. She's very shy,
Perfect.
but she's very shy, but I feel like she's grown so much. She's put so much work into with what she does. And I feel like, she can really, help out, other women, looking to go into the same field as a hair and makeup artist, especially here in LA, because, we do have a lot of hair and makeup artists that want to work with celebrities and things like that. But I think she's a perfect person as well. And there's also one, I don't know if she'll do it or not. She's a musician. I've, been working with her this past year. It's also like a little side job where I do where I'm kind of like her personal assistant, where I like we will go out to the park and I'll record her and we'll like create content and I'll be the one recording her and like zooming in, zooming out, going all
Yeah.
around her and stuff like that. And she's very inspiring as well. And her music is about women, about just like women and finding, I guess just like younger women finding like love and stuff. So that's what her music is about. But she has like 2.8 million followers on TikTok and on Instagram. And she has a beautiful soul. She's like the sweetest person ever. So she's probably someone that would probably be interesting to talk to, honestly. But
I would love that. That sounds
yeah,
like a good idea.
yeah.
And it's one of those things where, like I said, when we were on our initial phone call about this show, the important thing that I think we do here is I might have the right message, right? But be the wrong messenger. So having your experiences and your stories and your language and just your voice put your own little sizzle on it makes it that much more meaningful. And I think there's where the real kind of impact can be made for our community, right?
I agree.
I wonder if your husband would be interested. I'd love to have him. I've heard nothing but good things so far. Maybe you could encourage him to possibly extend the invite and the tables can be turned if he's interested, because I'd love to hear more about what he's got going on.
I should. You know what? My husband is every he when people first meet him, they think he's like a cocky motherfucker and like just so into himself. But once you like it's because he's just like a very what a, how do you say like a very preserve like a very
Secure.
not secure, but like very just like mellow and very like to himself and stuff. So, but once you do open up to him, he's like the nicest guy ever, and like he's so smart, and he has so the way he speaks, he just has so many, good ideas and good I guess tips and advice on what to give. So I think that would be perfect to work with him. I think I would love to hear what he would have to say and the things he would say. But yeah, I think people would love him because he's just raw, real, and he does not give a damn. Like if you agree with him, he'll say what he says. But he's like he's at work, and he just I always hear him like on the phone. He's when he's at work, and the way he interacts with his customers, it's like very professional and just like very nice. And he actually has conversations with him. I'm like, oh, honey, see, you are nice. He's like, honey, I do this every single day. You just don't hear me. And I'm like, I know, you're such a nice guy. But it's just too bad then that, that the people when they first meet you, they think like you're a huge asshole.
That's
But
funny. That's funny.
no, he's a total opposite. Like once you get to know him, he's like perfect. But I think that'd be awesome to get him on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely make a push. And like I said, I'd love to have the nicest guy ever on my show anytime, right? So I appreciate you for coming on. This has been another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye.
Bye. We'll see you. Thank you so much.